Good morning. We hope you are enjoying your week here at Hyatt, that the good things of this fraternal gathering are overshadowing the things that are concerns and irritations back at home and things through everyday life. So continue to take advantage of the exhortations and the lectures, and continue to pay close attention to the classes and the comments. Be refreshed with the prayers and hymns and spiritual readings, as well as all the personal meetings that we're having with brothers and sisters. We all occasionally have Bible questions that are puzzling at times that we would like to have answered. So this is the week to answer those questions and to take the opportunity to grow and to learn the truth and learn more about the truth. As was announced, our subject this morning is grandparents, and included in that subject as well is the scriptural verse from Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." We want to include in this reading the rest of that verse, but will not be commenting on it. "And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." Well, it's a wonderful thing to be a grandparent. We feel like those grandchildren are partly ours, and we have the overwhelming desire to protect them and to nurture them. We are somewhat accountable to see that to teach them the truth and to see that they are taught the truth. And you know, grandparents have had a lot of experience in teaching kids and raising kids, so we like to do our part. But we love our children, and our children and my children and your children are doing a great job at teaching the young people, and you can see that here on the grounds. We were walking down the road and didn't all the way to the culvert and never saw a piece of paper. And our kids are being taught. Grandparents have, throughout history, had to help raise and teach their grandkids. The American Indians, for example, the grandfather taught the young boys how to stalk and to hunt. They taught them how to make bows and arrows and how to shoot them. They taught them how to ride horses and to defend themselves. Grandmothers taught their granddaughters how to cook and to make clothes and to tend to camp life and to do those duties and to be young maiden Indian maidens. The grandparents taught the children how to behave, their customs and religion. Mother and dad had to provide food and raiment and protection for the extended family. Parents had a hard time back in those days trying to provide enough to eat and protection. They didn't have supermarkets. American Indians or those in China or Japan or wherever it might be, they had to grow or they had to catch what they were going to eat. So it was a tough job, and so parents had to do that, and grandparents, they taught and took care of those grandchildren. I was thinking about a grandparent that lived approximately 1900 years before Christ. This man was not a believer in the God of Abraham, but was the brother of Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, the father of Rachel and Leah, the grandfather of Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun and Dinah and Joseph and Benjamin. But notice I didn't list Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. They weren't his grandchildren. But I'm sure that he loved them as part of that extended family. But we know the story of Laban and Jacob, how Laban took advantage of Jacob. Jacob served Laban 20 years or more. And the time came that Jacob wanted to leave and to go home. We read in Genesis 31:17, "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle, and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So he leaves Mesopotamia and heads home to Cana with this multitude of animals and with his wives and his children and his servants. Laban the Syrian, his father-in-law, and his sons and his servants were out shearing the sheep when Jacob left. 3 days later, Laban was told of their secret departure. We could list a number of negative adjectives to describe Laban, but I believe he loved his two daughters and his grandchildren. Well, Laban rushes after Jacob, and he overtakes the procession. And to Jacob, I'm assuming he jumped off maybe his camel, but he runs up to Jacob, and he says, "What hast thou done?" He says to Jacob, "You have taken my daughters and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters." My sons. Later in the chapter, Laban says, "These daughters are my daughters and these children are my children." Well, God has intervened and they part their ways. In Genesis 31:55, and early in the morning, Laban rose up and he kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned to his place. Grandparents claiming that these grandchildren are my children. Now that's the last we hear of Laban, but not the last we hear of Jacob, for he too becomes a grandparent. And he has a touching experience of being a grandparent. And I'm sure he had others with the others, but with this one. And we know this story also, that Jacob shows partiality to Joseph. And Joseph is an irritation to his brothers. And eventually Joseph is sold into bondage by his brothers and ends up in Egypt as second in command in that great empire and that powerful country of Egypt. Jacob for years believes Joseph, his son, is dead. But in his old age and during that terrible drought, is reunited with his long-lost son, Joseph. It is then that he meets Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, his grandchildren. No doubt Jacob is overwhelmed, and I can imagine the tears and the weeping for joy for that occasion. But Jacob speaks to Joseph in Genesis 48:5. He says, "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren and their inheritance." And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So Israel, or Jacob, adopts these two sons of Joseph. And he tells Joseph, "The rest of your children will be yours. You can have the rest, but these two will be mine." Well, Israel gives them, these two boys, the most wonderful gift that he could give. And that is to be named as one of the 12 tribes of Israel. What else could we say but a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children? There's something special between grandparents and grandchildren, and you just can't put your finger on it. Brothers and sisters, we can leave behind what we hope that our grandchildren would say about our passing as a legacy. The simple phrase that he was a good man. He was a good man. Or that she, Grandma, she was a good woman. And in the case of a woman, Grandma, we think of the term, she was a mother of Israel. She was a mother of Israel. We as Christadelphians want our children and grandchildren and those who love to say, he led a godly life. And he left behind memories that had to do with spiritual things, godly things. Wouldn't it be something to be remembered by our godly conversations and our walk that was becoming to Christ? Paul said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We are to be remembered by our wholesome conversations. In Philippians 3:21, Paul says that the basis of his conversation was from heaven. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are going to influence people, be it our grandchildren, or our neighbors next door, we will censor what we say in our speech and our conversations. We will censor it. For example, we can talk about the president. And boy, there's lots of talk. And I am one of the... Our government. We can talk about our government. We can talk about those hot topics that's going on right now throughout the United States. But we will do it in the view of God's Word. In Daniel 4, it says, God rules in the kingdoms of men. It says it three different places in chapter 4. God rules in the kingdoms of men. He takes out, we know, who He wants and puts in who He wants. God is in control of everything, so all is going as planned. Nothing is out of control. So our conversation, our demeanor needs to show it. Our conversations and our demeanor needs to show it. We can be good examples in word and deed if we want to be. Wouldn't it be great if people knew us as a person of prayer? Prayer is communicating with God. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians, night and day, praying exceedingly. 2 Thessalonians, we pray also, always. 2 Timothy, my prayers, night and day. Prayer is part of our glorious foundation of that Christian religion, and we must make it the center part of our life. Wouldn't it be something to be known by our loved ones as a person that would be genuinely and lovingly taking advantage of uncomfortable situations and turning them into pleasant learning experiences? To be known as one that takes advantage of those uncomfortable situations and turns them into something pleasant. For example, when a grandparent or a parent or a grandchild falls short of all expectations in front of their loved ones, a loved one steps up and takes the heat off and teaches and encourages. A number of years ago, Grandma Jones in Abilene, Texas, was cooking for her family. All the kids were there, all the grandkids. She was slaving over a hot stove knowing that she may not be able to do it again. Her age was taking its toll. She brings out the crystal and the china. The family sits down, knowing this could be her last preparation. And they all bow their heads for prayer. And as the prayer is finished, little John suddenly reaches out and accidentally tips over his tea, his glass of tea. You know how tea is when you turn it over, it just goes everywhere. Everyone is aghast. And they glared at him for spoiling Grandma's special presentation. As John sits there crying and wanting to run out of the room, Grandpa reaches over and tips over his tea. At the very same time, Grandma has turned over her tea. The love and the compassion of grandparents is overwhelming. Do we have that compassion for our brothers and sisters? Do we help them out in difficult situations? I have some wonderful memories of my grandparents. I especially remember my grandmother that was a Christadelphian. She was the sister of Sister Lula Wolf, Uncle Sam Wolf's wife. Well, I was only 9 years old when she died, but I can remember her kindness and her goodness. She was faithful in her prayers and her Bible readings and her conversations. And you know what? It was taught to her by her Christadelphian grandparents. In 1948, my granddad and that grandmother, my granddad and grandmother, struck oil on their ranch. Oil blew out the top of the derrick of the well, blew way up into the air. I don't know how long it blew up, but I know people came from all around to see the sight. There was a write-up in the San Angelo Standard Times with a nice big picture of my granddad telling the whole story. Well, the oil people came to their house and informed them that they were going to be wealthy people. They said, "You're going to be extremely wealthy." And my granddad, he needed to build him an office, hire an accountant, hire a secretary. And with a well like that, there would be more wells. Well, that news startled my grandmother. My granddad was a Baptist. It shook her very foundations, and she went to praying that the rest of the wells drilled would be dry holes. She knew human nature. Her four children, my mother included, would turn to things of the world and put their trust and wealth instead of God. And in her mind, her good children would be ruined spiritually and morally in every way that you could think of. Extremely wealthy. She began to pray. They began to drill. And four holes later, they were all dry. No oil. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, or woman. That original well lasted for many, many years, and it furnished them a wonderful and a comfortable living. And I'm glad that my grandparents took advantage of their blessing, their ranch and their oil well. They were good stewards of the land, and they took care of what God had entrusted to them. My brother Carwin and I inherited part of that ranch, and Brenda and I built our home there. And I'm glad that we were able to have a place to call our own. And that place is in West Texas, and it's dry, but Brenda and I have a place to live, and And we want to share it with brothers and sisters to come and to climb the mountains, to look for Indian artifacts. But most of all, to come and enjoy Bible classes and Bible studies. I think my grandmother would approve of it. Now, I want to be a good steward and pass what God has entrusted to Brenda and I and to our grandchildren and children. But no amount of oil or land or money or gold could be worth that pearl of great price. That which every one of us under this tabernacle have. Can we have any greater love to extend to our children, our children's children, than our love of the truth? Can there be anything greater? Our love to God's Word, our love of the Gospel, our love to our God and Heavenly Father, and our love to His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what is really of value. All the rest is petty. It's nothing. Our hope this morning, my hope this morning, is that we might have time, to improve our image. To be more spiritually minded in our thoughts, in our character, in our actions, in our conversations. We hope that we have the time and that we will do it. How many here are grandparents? Well, a bunch. I hope you become a grandparent someday. If you're not already, it's a wonderful experience.